This tutorial is entitled Standard Work. Now, standard work is part of the standardizing activity within the Lean Work Improvement Cycle. So in this session, you are going to learn, number one, what is standard work? Number two, how does standard work contribute to and fit into the overall lean management system? And number three, how do you organize and implement standard work? So what is standard work? Standard work is a management practice in which management establishes a mechanism for assessing, approving, and documenting the current best way of performing a work process. Now, using the word standard may be a bit misleading here. Standard work does not involve a locked-in-concrete kind of standard. Rather, standard work is flexible. So while it does record the current best way of performing the work, it is also meant to be a baseline or platform for making further improvements. In effect, it's a challenge to workers to come up with an even better way of doing things. Standard work is often depicted as a kind of wedge that holds a barrel from rolling back down a hill. Think of the barrel as the quality or effectiveness of the work process. And so as you improve that work process, you are rolling the barrel up the hill. The problem here is that you need a way to keep the barrel from slipping back down the hill as your great improvements are misunderstood, forgotten, or maybe even ignored. And as you know, this does happen, especially when new hires are hired and not trained properly. So that's where standard work comes in. Standard work is viewed as the wedge that you can insert underneath the barrel to keep it from rolling back down the hill. So by holding back the barrel from slipping down, it's keeping the current improvements in place, but only until you can push the barrel even further higher up the hill with more improvements. At that point, the wedge is removed and reinserted at this higher position by updating the standard work to keep these new improvements in place until even better improvements are identified later on. So how does standard work contribute to the overall lean management system? Well, specifically, standard work is part of the standardized process activity that is the first step in the lean work improvement cycle, as you can see in your notes. So you must first understand and standardize your work. Then you can move on to visualizing the work in the next activity, identifying waste, and making improvements. Of course, as improvements are made, the standard work is adjusted to reflect those improvements, and the cycle continues as the team continually seeks to improve the work. Now, in the lean management system, standard work has a number of different roles and benefits. For one thing, standard work captures the current best way of performing work, which I've already talked about, and this is very important for guiding the performance of the work by existing employees, and for training new hires. Secondly, standard work creates a stable process that does not change frequently. So the work is carried out in basically the same manner each time. Now, this kind of predictability leads to a very positive and productive atmosphere, a process that is changing all the time, especially in random and unpredictable ways, can lead to chaos. The third role of standard work is to help everyone better understand the work and the work process. And this helps the whole team to kind of see the big picture of the work and to cooperate together in a more synchronized and efficient way. Fourth, standard work helps the team to identify problems and waste. If you know the correct way of doing things, then it's easier to see a deviation from that way that may represent a form of waste. And lastly, number five, as I mentioned before, standard work is a platform or a challenge for making further improvements. Now, in addition to these specific kinds of roles and benefits, standard work provides one big overall benefit that addresses a critical problem of empowerment that makes empowerment difficult to carry out in the real world. The problem is, how do you empower workers to improve and maintain their own processes and yet maintain a reasonable level of order and control? Well, it's standard work that addresses this tricky problem by balancing empowerment and control. So on one hand, standard work allows for the empowerment of workers because it informs workers and educates them and encourages and challenges them to suggest improvements. On the other hand, it provides for a certain level of managerial control because standard work changes must be approved by management. So you can see standard work provides this critical balance between empowerment and control. Okay, so how do you organize and implement standard work? Well, I think it's important to think of standard work as a kind of management program, where management makes an explicit decision to think about work in terms of chunks that we call processes. And also, management explicitly decides to define and enforce standardized ways of performing those processes. Now, if you remember from the Lean System Primer Part 2, what a process is. A process is basically a chunk or group of related work activities that has a beginning, an end, and that produces some kind of output for some kind of process customer. So there are 5 steps in organizing and implementing a standard work program, and we'll go through each one individually. The 5 steps are, 1, select and define a process. 2, determine the current best way of performing that process. 3, documenting the current best way in the form of a standard work guide. 4, posting that standard work guide in a way that is very accessible to workers. And 5, training workers on the use of the standard work guide. So let's go through each step. First one is select and define a particular process. So how do you do that? Well, there are many, many processes in a business. And at first, it can feel a bit overwhelming to think about, gosh, how am I going to standardize all of them? Fortunately, it's not necessary to standardize every single process immediately. In fact, what you want to do is just focus on one process or perhaps a small handful of processes to get started. Now, there's no right or wrong selection to picking this first process. The main thing is to pick something that has enough activity in it to make it meaningful, but not so many activities that becomes very complex and overwhelming to think about. Now, you can and should pick whatever process you feel comfortable with, but one good place to start is sometimes the purchasing process. It's a very common process that most companies use. And I'll use this kind of a process as an example in this tutorial. So we'll think about purchasing, say, cleaning supplies at a family-owned retail store. So when you select and define a process, what you need to do is identify it and give it some boundaries. Specifically, defining a process means you identify its beginning, its end, its output, and its customers. So in the case of purchasing cleaning supplies by a retail store, the beginning might be defined as when someone decides something needs to be purchased. The end of the process could be defined as when the cleaning supplies are received by the store and put away on the storage room shelf. For this process, then, the output is the appearance of those cleaning supplies on the storeroom shelf. That's the purpose or objective of this process. And the process customer would include anyone who uses that output, meaning anyone who needs to use those cleaning supplies. In a small retail store, this might be everybody. And remember from part 2 of the primer, that a process customer can be either external or internal. External being basically a paying customer, internal usually being an employee. So in this case, the process customers are internal because they are employees. All right, so we've selected and defined a process. Now, number two step is we need to determine the current best way of performing that process. So in order to do that, you basically need to observe, speak with, interview individuals who are involved in carrying out the process, which of course might include yourself. We sometimes call these people process actors. Now, a good way to organize this understanding of the best way of performing the process is to make a list of activities or steps that are normally carried out in going from the beginning to the end of the process. Again, there's no single right or wrong way of listing these steps. You want to just try to capture all the major activities or steps in the process while keeping it reasonably simple and understandable. In the case of the cleaning supplies purchasing process, you might make the following list of six steps. One, decide to order cleaning supplies from a supplier. Two, prepare a purchase order for the supplies. Three, send the purchase order to the supplier. Four, accept delivery of the supplies from the supplier. Five, make a list of the actually received supplies and give the list to the bookkeeper. And six, put the supplies on the shelf in the storage room. Now, as you try to prepare this list, you may find that not everyone carries out the process in the same way. For example, maybe the store manager does not bother to make a list of the received goods, which was our step five, and give it to the bookkeeper, but just takes the received goods and puts them right on the shelf without making the list. The assistant manager, on the other hand, may actually make the list and give it to the bookkeeper. Sound familiar? So in dealing with these kind of variations, you know, don't sweat over it. Just pick one way and include that way on the list. Because remember, this standard work document that's going to come from this list is meant to be flexible and will be changed probably many times in the future. So at this point, when you're getting started, the main thing is just to get a single current way of doing things down on paper so you can move forward with the work improvement cycle. Now, just a side note here. As you're trying to understand the current best way of performing the process, if you find a great deal of variation in how the process is actually performed, especially if these variations seem to be kind of random and chaotic, you really need to slow down and spend some time in working with employees to agree upon a more stable process. Be patient with this and spend the time to bring some order to the process, because you really need reasonably stable processes if you're going to effectively carry out the lean work improvement cycle. Okay, so we've decided and defined the process. We prepared the list of items, of activities. Number three step is we're now going to document this current best way in the form of a standard work guide. So what is that? Well, a standard work guide is a clear presentation of the process steps that is made accessible to all the process actors, the workers who are involved in carrying out the process. Each process will normally have its own standard work guide. Now remember that standard work is a kind of visual control. You should have already listened to the audio on visual controls. Therefore, as with any visual control, the standard work guide should be relatively simple, legible, intuitive, easy to interpret, and highly visible and accessible to the process actors. The guide should not be tucked away in a drawer. Rather, it should be out in the open so it can be frequently checked by all of the workers. Now, there's no single correct format for a standard work guide, although the checklist is always a good place to start. There are some examples in the notes of a checklist. There's an example of it. There's other formats shown in the notes to consider, like a timeline chart and a flow chart. Pictures, videos can be also effective. Whatever format works best in helping the workers to carry out the process should be used. Generally, though, it's good to use a kind of a less is more philosophy in preparing the guide. The most effective guides don't spell out every little detail. All right, so step four, you know, once you've got the standard work guide completed, it needs to be posted in or near the place of work, the Gemba, so that it's easily accessed and viewed by workers. Now, it might be posted separately or combined with some other visual controls. The key thing is to keep the perspective of the worker in mind. You know, where is the best positioning for the guide so workers can most easily use it to guide their regular day-to-day work activities? Now, just a side note here, someone should be designated within the company or the organization as the person or persons authorized to approve the preparation and posting of new or updated standard work guides. Because remember, standard work changes are suggested by workers, but approved by management. So you need some structure or mechanism for making that approval. Now, the authorized person might be a team leader. The thing is, you just don't want just anybody being able to modify standard work. So the last step, step five, is training the workers on the use of the standard work guide. So after posting the guide, workers need to be explicitly trained on the purpose of the guide and how they should be using it. This would include explaining that the guide is the current best way of performing the process that we want to follow, but that it is also a platform for making improvements to that way of doing things. And workers need to recognize that their suggestions for improvement are both welcome and expected. Now, this training might occur in a separate training session, or it might be conducted as part of a daily stand-up meeting. Even if there's a separate session, the use of standard work should be discussed in future stand-up meetings and should also be incorporated as a topic during Gemba walks. Now, at first, there may be some anxiety from workers about standard work and what it really means. You know, change is often unsettling. Over time, though, you're going to find that standard work will bring a certain level of order and predictability to the workplace that will make the work much more productive and will make the place of work, the Gemba, a less frustrating and more enjoyable place to be. Thank you.